everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be open. Which of you, if your sons ask for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. So today we have the pleasure to have Pastor Peter Fong speak to us. He is the founding pastor of Breakaway Church, which was started in 2007. And he is also the father of our youth pastor, Nathaniel Fong. So let's go ahead and welcome him.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for inviting me to be here to share God's word with you. And I want to first, as Woody, want to say thank you for taking the risk of hiring my son. And it's hard, right? Because, you know, he just graduated from seminary and you never know what you're getting. Because I don't know what you're getting. But I'm very proud of my son, the fact that he graduated from a theological school, got an MDiv. It's just like I'm just a proud dad kind of thing. And so I'm really, really grateful that you were willing to take the risk with him. And I'm also proud of my other kids. You know, in fact, the day that my son graduated, my youngest daughter, well, my youngest natural daughter, I also have an adopted daughter who's younger, staying still with us at home. But then my other four natural kids are all married, and my youngest one just went to Japan to do missionary work for an indefinite period of time with her husband. And so they took 2 years to raise the support, and now they're there. And my other two kids, my oldest finally got married, so I'm very proud that he finally settled down and got married. And there's a lot of things to be proud about when you're a father. And but no matter how much you take pride in your kids, but you know, most kids are your typical kids, right? They also have problems, and then you're gonna figure out what Nathaniel's problems are, okay, after your honeymoon period of him. And you're gonna find, oh wow, you have these issues. Yeah, okay, welcome to my side now, that kind of thing. And you know, every kid's right, and that's growing up, they have problems, they have issues. And my oldest, when he was in junior high, struggled with his faith. He didn't want to go to church anymore. Okay, we said, well, too bad, he's still going anyway. And we had to deal with that, you know, stuff like that. And now I have a daughter who's just very possessive of all her possessions. You know, I said, no, you got to share your toys. No, you got to share your siblings. No, of course she won't do that. And then we got to deal with that. And Nathaniel, I don't know what his problem is. He's such a great kid, you know, and we really never have really any issue with him. You know, other than maybe he's lazy a little bit, okay? And maybe not as organized, but if I just sit and think about, everyone's going to have some issues, right? Some of you have friends who have issues, okay? The question then is, how do you help people with their issues? How do you relate with them, kind of thing? And today's passage has to deal with that. And I know when you first read this passage, it's like, oh wow, there's like, how is all this tied together? It tied in with this idea of how do you help people? How do you treat people with their problems, okay? And we all know, right, we all have relationships where we deal. You're married, okay? Your spouse have problems. After the honeymoon period, you're like, wow, I didn't know you were like that. Oh, I didn't know you were like that. Okay, I wish you'd be more like this, right, kind of stuff. We all, our issues eventually going to come up. At school, when you have friends, right? At first, this is a good friend, but later on you find out, wow, you have this issue. I don't know how to relate with you anymore, kind of thing. Well, today, in our passage, right, Jesus is going to teach his disciple who we are. Now that you're my disciple, I want you to learn how to treat people the way I treat people, okay? And the way we do it is by the golden rule. The golden rule is found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, okay? So the slide is there, right? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. Okay, this is where we want to get to. From first 1 to first 12, this is like the conclusion. All right? The way you treat people is the way you yourself want to be treated. If you have issue, how do you want people to treat you? See? Now, so we go back to first 1. First 1 is how we get to first 12. It starts with Jesus saying to his disciple, we go to the next slide, judge not, do not judge, or you too will be judged. So you can see that, right? You're going to start with do not judge, first one, all the way to first 12. Everything between it is to lead you from first one to first 12. But it begins by saying, do not judge people with their issues. Whatever issues they're having, whatever problem they're having, this issue could be anything. From people who are lazy or tardy all the time, to people who have major addictions. Whatever addiction you think of, like drugs, alcohol, whatever it is. Okay? Could be a person who is sinning even. Whatever the issue is, Jesus began by saying, how do you treat those individuals? Do not judge, lest you in the same way be judged, kind of thing. Now, when the Bible, when you read this phrase, do not, okay, it's always written in a present, what they call the present imperative. Present means right now. Probably a better translation is like, stop this. Just stop. It implies, whenever you read the do not, is that you're doing this right now. Okay? We go back before, right, in the chapter 6, in Matthew, Jesus does the same thing. He says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites who wants to be seen when they pray. And Jesus then implying, you're doing this. Stop it. Right now, just stop that. Okay? When it says, do not lay up treasure on earth, stop that. Because that's what you're doing right now in your life. You're laying treasure on earth right now, and Jesus says, stop. You need to stop. Okay? But the beauty of the Bible, compared to any other wisdom you're going to get from the world, whatever, okay, because the world will also tell you to stop. You guys ever seen the commercials? You know, about especially when Nancy Reagan started it. And then later on, right, it became very popular. Okay, stop taking drugs. Okay, and the commercial, right? Here is what's like to take drugs, right? They put a brick of egg and then throw in a frying pan. This is your brain in drugs, with drugs, right? Guys, where is that commercial? Am I too old? Or maybe before your time. You guys haven't seen that. But you know, they tell you, right, stop, stop, stop. But you know what the problem with those commercials? I have a problem. Why do people take drugs? They have issues. So if I stick to the drug, how do I deal with my issues? Right? They don't give you the alternative. See, the Bible doesn't leave us hanging when it says stop. It always gives turn. Right? First 12 is the alternative to this. You see. Do not lay up treasure on earth, but lay up what? Treasures in heaven. Right? Don't be like the hypocrites. Be like this when you pray. Right? And so the Bible, that's for the wisdom. That's why you need to read your Bible. We need to read our Bible, right? Because the Bible is trying to help us. You know, you're going the wrong path. Stop. This is the path you need to take. Stop judging people. It's not going to be helpful in relating to people when they have problems. For you too will be judged. See, that's the problem. See, the problem with judging people, yeah, it's easy to look at, okay, I'm hurting this person, which we are when we do that. But the worst part is that you're hurting yourself. You see. Just not let you be judged. For in the way you judge others, you will be judged. Okay, now the next phrase, and when the measure you use, I'll be your measure to you. Okay, Jesus is not repeating himself. Look, if you judge me for my sin, then I'll judge you for your sin. Like 1-to-1, right? You hit me, I'll hit you once kind of thing. The next phrase, Jesus emphasizing even worse. Okay, he says, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. For sure that's going to happen. You hit me, I'll hit you once. You judge me, I'll judge you. But the judgment you're going to get is even worse. Okay, now, that's usually how that phrase is used by Jesus. Right? I'll use the next slide to show you how that works. All right, you go to the next slide. Right? In Mark chapter 4, Jesus, consider carefully what you hear. He continued, with the measure you use, I will be measured to you. It will be measured to you. And even more. See, that's the key. Whenever Jesus used the word phrase, the measure is implying even more. Okay, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away. This is about listening to God's word, right? So the more you intently hearing God's word, the more you want to hear it, the more you're going to get. So you spend a minute reading God's word, okay, you get 1 minute's worth of what you're going to learn. But if you spend 2 minutes, you don't just get 2 minutes, you're going to get like 5 minutes worth. If you spend 10 minutes on God's word, you're going to get like an hour's worth. It multiplies. Okay, that pastor is talking about the fruit, right? It multiplies 60, 90 times, 30, 60, 90 times. That's how it works. And that's what this passage is about. And then in the parallel passage about the not judge, first Luke chapter 6, Do not judge and you will be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive, you will be forgiven. Give and it will be forgiven to you. A good measure pressed down, shaking together and running over will be poured into your lap. Right? For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So Jesus used that phrase to say, look, if you give someone, you forgive someone, and you are generous to someone, God's going to pour out his generosity on you. That's how he measures. Right? But the way God measures is that you will always get more. So now go back to the previous, next slide. Okay, going back to that first slide. Now when you see, when Jesus says, and with the measure you use, he's trying to say, when you judge others, you yourself will be judged even worse, even more so. Okay? Now, how's that work? You go to the next slide. Right? Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your eye? The plank is more than a sawdust. You see? That's why you will be judged even more because you have a plank in your eye. Whereas your brother only has a sawdust. Okay? Look, when you have an issue, issue is an issue. The idea is issue, right? It's not trying to compare the issues. It's not that you have worse issue. It's just that you'll be judged even worse. You see? Because of your attitude in how you treat others. You see, you're going the wrong path. This path is not helpful. This path is very damaging. Not only damaging the person you're trying to help, it's damaging to you as you try to help people and try to relate to people with the way you are with the people's problem. And then Jesus saying, stop doing that. It's like taking drugs. Stop taking the drug. Let me show you the alternative. This is only bad. The only bad will come out of this while you continue to treat people the way how you've been treating people with their issues. Why do you look at the speck? Yes, they have an issue. But you know what? You have a plank in your eye, you see. And that's blocking you from actually helping your brother to remove the speck out of their eye. So it's very clear in this passage, right, from this paragraph, that Jesus do want you to treat people who have problems. But the question again is, how? You see? Are you going to do it the way you're used to doing it? The way earthly people do it? The way that everyone else in the world tries to do it? Because everyone treats people with their problem, and that's only one way they do it. And everyone gets the same treatment. They end up being judged. You see? But are you my disciple? You are my disciple, you will treat people differently, unlike anyone else. Everyone in this world just judge everyone. I know if you are at school, that's how white students treat each other. They just judge each other. At work, no difference. Everyone gets evaluated, right? You're judged by your pay and all that stuff. Your grades being judged. Everything we do in our life is judgment. And Jesus says, you're my disciple. You want to hear what I'm about? Then listen carefully. With the ears you hear, it will be measured to you. How much do you want to learn from me? To how to treat people in the way that I treat them. You hypocrites, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eyes. Because Jesus' goal is to help us to remove the speck from our brother's eyes. But the way we're going about it, it doesn't work. It's very hurtful, very harmful. In fact, the next verse, that's what Jesus is trying to imply to us as we try to judge others. So what does the next verse say? So if you think this is a different passage, it's not. It's all related. The next verse, okay, go to the next slide. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pig. If you do so, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. How many guys are animal lovers? I'm not. We have all kinds of animals at house, okay? My wife's an animal lover, right? Kind of like she used to be like a zoologist or whatever, right? She's really into pets. You name a pet, we probably had it in our house. You can talk to Nathaniel all about it. And but, you know, I don't want to do anything to them, but I used to end up taking care of them. You know, kind of stuff. And, okay, but, so we have a number of dogs, okay? Cats, whatever animals, and if you have any dogs, right? Now, have you ever been bitten by a dog? How many of you guys have been bitten by a dog? Okay. Now, usually, when does a dog attack you? When they feel what? cornered. Okay, when you're doing something that's hurtful to them, then they snap at you. Okay, that's happened several times with me, right? I'm trying to feed this dog, right? And somehow, you know, it just wants to snap at you, right? Then I realize that, okay, well, one time it happens because I'm trying to take the food away, that kind of stuff. If you're doing something they don't like, just Jesus saying, look, when you treat people the way the world does, when you judge them, first of all, we're treating like animals. You see, animal, right? You treat one animal the same way you treat another animal. That kind of thing. But we have the same mentality as though, you know, like, okay, let's just put everyone in prison, right? Kind of stuff. Okay? Like somehow, it doesn't matter which crime you commit, you're going to be thrown in prison. We'll cage them. Treat people like animals. And so they don't have individuality. Like their issue is very unique to them. You know? But let's just judge everyone the same way. You're wrong. Right? Kind of stuff. And yet, your intention's good. Right? The intention of the prison system was good. The intention is to give them something good, sacred. The intention for the pig is the pearl. It's good. Very expensive. It's very valuable. And the intention to help people is all there. Everything is good. But the way we go about it, Jesus is saying, it's all wrong. Why? Because we're treating them like animals. And then when you treat people, right? The fact that you have this plank in your eye, you try to help them, and you have the plank in your eye, they're not being helped. In fact, they feel what? In danger. And so they turn and snap at you. You ever experienced that? You try to help someone, and all you get is like, it's like they just want to slam the door at you. It's like, you are experienced that, and if you haven't, you will. It's because we don't know what we're doing. Because what we're doing is somehow it's not working. Okay? I experienced that raising my kids. Right? My son, I serve you, right? Who doesn't want to go to church anymore? Because it's too bad, you're going to go rid of us. Right? That kind of stuff. And that didn't go very well. Okay? But we did what we felt like we did have to do. And so we just did what we did. Kind of thing. And I see so many relationships that eventually end up being broken. Because the intention was always there, good. It's well-being, right? They want to help. They want to give them something good. You share a Bible first, right? It's great to tell people you need to read a Bible. It's great to tell them, like, you know, somewhere, you need to pray to God about this. Da, 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 da. You give them all this wonderful stuff, and they're all good stuff. But it doesn't work. Anything, right? They snap at you. But they take that thing that you suggested, or read the Bible. They take the Bible and tear it to pieces and trample it on their feet. You wonder what's going on. Why is it not working? Well, because there's a plank in your eye. Until that plank is removed, you're not able to help this person. And that plank is all tied in all the way to verse 1. Why are you judging that person? There's something in us, there's this plank that's keeping us from actually helping these people. So this is the first part. Now, how do we get the first 12? Well, what's the alternative? Stop doing all this thing I just mentioned. Now, let's go the way Jesus proposed us. And then we go to the next passage. And this passage is not about prayer. But it uses prayer as a means to get to where we need to go. Okay? Jesus has already taught about prayer in chapter 6. What is prayer and how we should pray? In fact, he doesn't even use the word prayer here at all. He intentionally used three words which we use in our prayer. Okay? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. The only way you can ever remove a plank, and you should do that, we should all do that before helping people, before actually treating people the way they want to be treated, is to spend time in prayer. So what's happening when you're praying? Okay? Now, when you think, go back to the first one, when a person judges someone, what usually happens? Right? Do they ask them, oh, can I help you? Or they say, you need help. Right? You need help. You need to change. No asking. Right? You just barge in. I don't care. You knock down the door and say, hey, I need to talk to you. Right? That's all judgment attitude. Do you seek them out? Like, you don't even bother to find out what's going on. You just barge in and just let them have it. The moment you enter into prayer, Jesus is saying, you are already removing the plank. And you do so by asking, God, how do I help my son? I really don't know. I'm seeking. I'm truly seeking the way. Because I'm out of ideas. I really don't know. And I'm knocking. Now, think about those three words again. Ask, seek, and knock. When do you ask? When you have a need. When my kids have a need, they come and ask me for something. Dad, can I borrow the car? Dad, can I have $10? Right? They ask because they have a need. You seek, right? Today, you know, coming to preach, right, I have to look for a tie. So I'm going to my class and finding a tie. I have a need to wear a tie. Right? So I'm looking. There's a door there. I need to enter in the next room and someone's in there. So what do? I knock. Why do I knock? Because I need to enter into that room. I have a need. You see. That alone, prayer, is removing the plank. Understanding the need that we have. You see. My whole attitude through prayer is already changing. Right? Sometimes just barging in and telling you what I think, all that is being removed just in the act of prayer. Father, help me. God, I need this. God, I'm knocking. Right? And the promise of God, if you truly seek out this way, you really, right, do you really, really want to treat this person correctly? Do you really want to have relations with this person? Do you really want to help this person with this problem? Do you really, really want to? If you do, you will ask, seek, and knock from the Father in heaven. For everyone who asks, they will receive. The one who seeks will find, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. Okay? Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Okay, I'm a father. My son had asked me all kinds of stuff, and they asked me something similar to that, and I just give it to them. And I'm an evil father. That's what Jesus says. This is what Jesus says about me. Peter, you're an evil father. And I'll be the first to confess to you, I am. Okay? Because I'm right, my whole body is being infiltrated with sin and depravity and whatever you want to call it. It's just, you know, I know I'm gonna treat my kids wrong at times. And even when they ask me for something good, I will give them that thing, but even then, right, I'm an evil father who's able to do those things. But the important part that what Jesus says, that if you then, you who are evil, know how to give good gift to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gift to those who ask him? This goes back to the measure thing. If I, the evil father, can give my kids what they need, how much more if you seek him out, the Father in heaven, who is perfect in all his ways, give you even more than you'll ever ask. See, all I can give my kids, okay, he wants a car, I'll give him a car. God never did that. I don't want to do that. I can't afford that. Okay, he wants lunch. I'll buy him lunch. Okay? But that's all I give. I can't give him anything more. But God in heaven can give us even more. Now, this is how it works. Okay, because here, this is why I don't want to talk about prayer, because it's not about prayer. Because here, we think like, okay, God, this person needs help. No, I need to help my son how to go to church. And then I go there and talk to him, hey, you're going to go to church today. And he says, no. Oh, my prayer didn't work. right? Like, what is Jesus saying? It's not working. I pray and it didn't work. You got to listen to what Jesus is saying here. It's not talking about prayer. You pray and this thing is going to work. It's about working with us. We have the plank. The fact that I go to my son and I pray and he still doesn't want to go to church because the plank is still in my eye. The prayer is not the thing that automatically just takes away your plank. In the prayer, in the act of prayer, God is working to remove the plank in my eye. He says, you come, do you really want to know the answer? How to help your friend? Do you really want to? Then come to me, and I'll give it to you. But I'm going to give you something that you will never even think in your mind. Because see, you're looking for bread. You're hungry. And that's what you're looking for. God, this person needs to help. So you already have an answer. You already know what your answer is. And God said, come. Do you really want to learn from me how to help this person? The answer you're going to get is nothing you ever thought of before. Because it's so much more. I'll give you something even more. Because that more, you've never seen it before. You've never been there before. And now you need to learn from me. What's that like? What's it like to love someone who has addiction? Most of us, to be honest, we really don't know. We didn't know from what we watched from TV, what our parents did, what our society do, and stuff like that. But we have never really learned it from God. Because the way God treats people are very, very different than the rest of the world. And so when we come before his throne, when we come to him, pray and ask, to truly ask, Lord, how do I do this? He's going to speak to you. But oftentimes we don't hear it. Oftentimes it still doesn't work. It's because we're not hearing it, what he's trying to say. He might even use the word like, forgive them. See, that was probably not even part of our vocabulary, we're trying to help this person. Right? That word could be all kinds of things. But are you willing to come before him and says, knocking, asking, and seeking, right? In the sense you're already humbling yourself before him. Okay? Like if I want to be treated with my problem, I hope every one of you will come to me with humility. Right? Isn't that how you want to be treated too? But where are you going to learn that? You come before the throne and let God remove the plank from your eye. This whole process is about removing the plank. That's all it's doing. And in letting God, who is a giver of all good gifts, and even more so, he's willing and waiting to give you that. Right? It's only through this act of prayer that we go to verse 12. See? Don't try to do verse 12 without the first 11 verses. You have to first stop what you're doing and then take the alternative route, which is coming before God, humbling yourself, asking, seeking, and knocking, and then trusting that God will give you the answer. Right? And then after you do that, then verse 12 comes to play. Verse 12, there you go to the next slide, right? It goes back to the golden rule. So in everything, do to others what you would have them to do you. So let's imagine yourself now. You have an issue. You have an addiction. You have a problem. How do you want people to treat you? Now to go back to the passage. Does that make sense to you? Yeah, you know, if I have a problem, I would love for people to come and ask me, Peter, is there something I can do for you? Can I help you in any way? Do you want to talk to me? Do you want to just talk? Just ask, right? Wouldn't you want people just to ask you what's going on in your life instead of saying, oh, this is happening in your life. This is bad, da-da-da. Look, right, just to the act of prayer, I am already learning, and that in the process, I'm already learning. Oh, I need to ask. I need to ask my son. Son, what's going on in your life? Why is it, no, don't want to go to church? I'll have to hear it. Wouldn't that be better than say, son, I don't care, son, you're going to go to church. See, learn to ask. How do I learn to ask? Through prayer. How do I seek out that individual? By seeking God out. Wouldn't you want someone to seek you out if you have a problem? Find the opportunity, the right time for you to talk to? And wouldn't you want to be treated that way? See, Jesus is already teaching us how to treat others the way you want to treat through prayer. Wouldn't you love it if someone come and knock on your door and start barging in? And that you would open the door for them? And then if you're not ready to open a door for them, they don't come in? Isn't this how you want to be treated? When you're ready to talk, you open a door, then they can come and talk to you. And the door will be open. But might not be the time that you want it to be. But they'll eventually open the door. And I believe that all has to do with God's timing. God will open the door eventually. God will work on that person and says, it's time for you to talk to someone to ask for help. Isn't this how you want to be treated? So in everything due to others, what you have due to them, for this sums up the laws and the prophets. If you take what you learned today into your life, you are fulfilling the laws. Every law that's been written, you fulfilled it. This is how important this lesson is that Jesus taught his disciples. Jesus basically saying, look, if you learn this golden rule, you learn to stop judging others. You learn not to treat them like animals, right? Though your intention is good. If you just humble yourself, come before me and ask, seek, and knock. You treat people the way you want to be treated. You have fulfilled the law. Let's pray. Father, you are a God who is unlike me. You're a God that actually cares. You're God who actually wants the best for all his children. Father, we growing up in this world has learned all sorts of wrong way in relating to people. We have mistaken wrong advice. Some of that even comes from our parents. Some of those come from our best friends. But they have all good intentions, Lord, and yet they are not the word that you've spoken. Father, we come humbly before your word. We come humbly before you in prayer. Lord, may you continue to teach us. Remove the planks from our eyes. Let us to become like Jesus. See how Jesus sees people and treat them the way they want to be treated. Lord, my prayer is that your will be done in our life. Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.